O teste, um, dois, três, quatro, cinco, seis, sete, oito, nove, 10. A saída de áudio do Zoom é para, um, dois, três, quatro, cinco, seis. Aqui falando esquerdo, cabo input. Para. 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Está a trabalhar. Está a trabalhar. Teste 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Teste 1, 2, 3, 4. Não pode ser feito aqui isto. Teste 1, 2. Teste 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Agora vamos passar isto para. Resolve-se assim. Broadcast. Start a room. Muito bem. E vamos ver se isto funciona. Aparentemente funciona. Veja lá esse escrito aí no seu fantástico telemóvel. Eu vou continuar a falar de forma mais ou menos clara. Aparentemente. Tem sim, senhora. Tem sim, senhora. Então o textinho. Agora escolhe a língua que quer em cima. Escolhe a língua que quer lá em cima. E transcribe áudio. E o telefone vai escrever. O telefone vai falar, aliás. O telefone vai falar. Transforma-se isso de repente num telefone falante. Transforma-se isso num telefone falante. Será que é verdade? Eu acho que sim. Muito bem. A única coisa é que isto ainda está em fase de testes. Pode escolher aí a língua que quer. E de qualquer forma, se eu mudar de língua aqui, supostamente ele pega-lhe sozinho. Não falhou uma palavra ainda até agora. Eu acho que tenho isto em menu de escolha automático. Agora vou cambiar para castelhano. Vamos a ver se a capacidade de reconocimiento es algo que no sé si el software lo hace. Creo que sí, ¿eh? Pero no lo sé. Vamos a ver. Acha?
E se eu falar agora em português outra vez, isto há de transcrever isto tudo para o computador. Ou então não. Ah, sim. So now I will speak English for anyone in the audience. If you can hear me, yes, you can. I think that you can also read the text on the app if you like. And you will most certainly be able to listen to me in Portuguese. Now, the question is if this is Portuguese for Portugal or Portuguese for Brazil, which is a very interesting thing to test. It could be, but I cannot. But I cannot. Let me. Não tenho código QR. Okay, so now I'm gonna go on speaking English, and I will select Portuguese as a language. So there you go to Portuguese. It is Portuguese. It does have a Portugal flag, so let's see what it does. And I think it is Brazilian, but let's listen to it. See what if it does. Just yeah, there you go. And as you can see, this is Brazilian, which is.
Vou usar o motor do telefone ou a linguagem do telefone. Não estou a usar. Eu não tenho potência para fazer as duas coisas ao mesmo tempo lá. Ainda não tenho potência para as duas coisas. Não tenho potência para conseguir usar em ter máquina para ter engine para conseguir tirar isto cá para fora da mesma forma que eu estava a escrever. Sai perfeitíssimo. Muda os precisamos. É do meu português profissional. Isso está sempre no telefone, está sempre aqui, calma. Está sempre processado na máquina. O que eu estou a fazer? Estou a pegar na linguagem e mandar para um local.
Et maintenant, je peux parler français parce qu'il s'adapte. Mais c'est fantastique. Hein? Il parle-tu la langue? C'est fantastique. Und ich spreche in Deutsch. Oh, das ist wunderbar. Ha, oh, schon, Chungwen. Oh, ein Chiro, ein Ha, oh, schön, Bernardo.
Potência para ao mesmo tempo em cima deste leque.
Eu acho que vou sobretudo falar aqui neste, não é? Fantástico. É. Sim. Diretamente? Como é que é? Uau! Fazem o scan do QR Code e já está? Espetacular! Espetacular! Está bem. E esse evento tem muita gente? Uau! Sim. Então eu também vou desligar o meu. Não, vou desligar o meu vídeo, que não tem nada a ver. Até já. Ah, giro! Onde é que está? Em que sítio? E o sítio onde é que é? Onde estão todos? É um hotel ou é o quê? Ok. Sim. Já não me lembro. Ah, já não trabalho na Lapa há muito tempo. Mas tem um ar bem bonito. Olha. Pois. Assim. Não há cá brincadeira. Claro, só turismo tem mesmo que ser. Vou ali buscar uma coisa, já volto, está bem? Vou, até já, obrigada. Já aqui estou outra
Recording in
vez, se precisar.
progress.
Olá. A falar comigo? Eu gosto muito de ouvir. Olá, João. Welcome to this session, diplomatic. To war. This is an initiative that's promoted by Porto Municipality and the tourism and internationalization. So I asked Pedro Duarte, the mayor, for this chat that is the introduction to the dialogue we'll have afterwards. Good afternoon, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends. I'll be very brief so that we can spend most of the time listening to the speakers of this panel and having then the discussion. That's what really interests every one of us. Nevertheless, I would like to give you some comments. First of all, I want to say that it's a pleasure for me to welcome this chat, Mind Power, a diplomatic to war. It's integrated in its fourth edition of Wine and for the week that we have for 4 years in a row. So this continuity shows a clear strategy of our municipality. We want to value gastronomy and wines as important assets, cultural ones, economic ones of this city and of this region. Wine is part of our identity, of our collective identity, its territory, landscape, heritage, and culture. It's also how we can qualify our touristic offer. It creates value, and we can then have a more balanced development, more sustained one, being able to create dynamics that go apart from the urban areas. Porto is a city related with Douro and Vinho Verde region. So tourism is very important, and especially the enotourism in the economic development of these regions. This is also in the great wine capitals. We are one of the first members. We are very proud. So we have a good a positioning in our territory. But this chat allows us to go further. Wine is a strategic asset for economic and cultural diplomacy. It works for us as an ambassador of the territory, of our culture, our way of living, and it helps to have a international positioning of the cities in external and public markets that are very important for us. The speakers we'll listen to today show this dimension. George Sandman shows the continuation of historic brand that's related with Porto and Douro. It will show that a tradition and a strong identity sustain a reputation for many generations. Paul Simiton symbolizes a vision of long term based on sustainability, responsibility to be internationally as an excellence region here in Douro. And we have also Gustavo Tutuca, Secretary of State of Tourism from Rio de Janeiro, and has been leading a strategy to reposition this state in the national and international touristic reality, offering different possibilities and having the projection of the region. Porto wants to be a dialogue place on all these topics. We want to work the wine not only as a product, but as a strategic asset for projection at the international level. And we have in the city some critical variables. We have very well structured teams, namely the ones that we have with Hugo Beirão Rodrigues, It's very important that is with us. I myself, I will have to go because I have a municipality meeting today and I have to be there. So the municipality is going to be well represented in this member that I mentioned. This chat is going to help this vision, and we can work hand in hand in the strategic values.
Temos afinal importantes lições a aprender com o setor do vinho, como aliás nos lembra o próprio conceito de terroir que aqui se evidencia. Eu destacaria três. Em primeiro lugar, o território importa. Cada lugar tem as suas especificidades e não há respostas universais. Em segundo lugar, é preciso tempo, paciência e consistência. O trabalho de hoje produz efeitos a longo prazo, como bem sabe quem produz vinho. E em terceiro lugar, que cada detalhe, cada decisão, por mais pequena que pareça, acaba por
seems to
influenciar
be very small, will have an influence in the final result. So we would should be inspired and do public policies at the level of our good wines. Thank you. Have all a very, very good session. Thank you for this introduction. I apologize. We're not going to speak about tannin. We're not going to speak about primary, secondary, tertiary flavors. No. Or astringency. No, we want to see the diplomatic context where I can. Good end of a conversation. We have the Secretary of State Tutuca from Rio de Janeiro, the epicenter of
vinho. Bem-vindo, por favor. O Paul Symington, que durante vários anos liderou a empresa familiar a Symington Family Estates, a maior
Family
proprietária
States,
de vinhas na região
the
da Mercado do Douro, um nome também
biggest owner in here in Douro, and John Sarer, founder and CEO of Exampiel. Example, that's it. I will explain. Okay. For many years he worked in family company, but also in Sograp wines. So we take our seats and be welcome, all of you gentlemen, to this chat. It's going to be a chat mainly. It's going to be very interesting, I'm sure. Paul, I will start with you. Everyone knows that the UK Royal House has very, very interesting wine cellars. The family that has Scottish origin has been the one offering the wine. What's behind the scene? Well, we inherited a position with brands of Porto wine from Douro when my great-grandfather was a partner in 1805, 85. So these wines that we have in the wine cellars of the royal family, it was very important for our wines everywhere in the world. So we did work in order to keep that position, so to have that favor of the royal family and to use it to project the wines in USA, Brazil, Latin America, South America. So it's a work we have to keep up. But we had a small help. My grandfather was in the war, in the First World War, with Winston Churchill. And he got some port wine from here, from the parents that were here in Gaia and in Douro. So when he was in the trench, he did share some bottles with Churchill. And after the war, he did travel to London to sell the wines. He found Churchill on the street, and Churchill looked at him and said, port. So as of then, we had an extra help to position our wines in the government in UK. Simitane puts their wines, very special ones that we don't see in the market. Can you ask again? Simitane puts in the wine cellar of the Royal House some special editions of wine. Yeah, most of it is port vintage. So that's what you can buy in any store around the world. But when the Queen, she had special parties. So we have the blend specifically made for her, but a few bottles. Most bottles that are in the wine cellar, they are vintage that are offered when there's the declaration of the year. George, those that know you knows that you are a diplomat, and you're a leader of the wine with moderation movement in Europe. You had for sure many meetings in these corridors where the European policy is decided. Did you have to drink some wine before some chats, or it was not necessary? Well, it's always good to have some wine to celebrate a good chat. But truly speaking, the European population must know that wine consumed in Parliament, in the European Parliament, and in the Commission, they are very bad, really bad. Even worse is the coffee. The coffee is terrible, but the wine, they are very bad ones. I'm not going to mention the origin, it would not be fair, but I would say it's not Portugal, that I can say. But no doubt that for some years, it was necessary to drink some wine in a moderated way. It's true. Is that a policy of corridor, but it's a gray one, or is it somehow more in enthusiastic? Well, that corridor policy, it's very transparent, I must say. There's a position that unfortunately, very often goes against wine, and then the wine producers, they are a bit reluctant to defend themselves. And it does make sense to me, indeed, but that's what happened. But I would not say it's gray. No, it was very clear. The World Health Organization say it's bad, and we say nothing. In practical terms, what's this program? Wine moderation. For those that don't know it, well, mainly it's a way to educate people to appreciate wine. So, what we do usually when we speak about wine, we speak about the flavor and all the characteristics. And the pleasure that we have with wine and wine admiration does that. It also gets the attention that we should not abuse of anything. But we should not abuse of the wine. We should not abuse when we drive a car. We should not abuse hamburgers. And we should not even abuse water, otherwise, we drown. So, drink, it's better to have a glass of wine in a moderated way than just drown in water. Very good. Gustav, we know that Brazil, it's a market that it's being aware to wine. With the agreement that you had with EU and Mercosur countries, it shows that the European producers will be very interested in the Brazilian market. But despite all this, the consumption in Brazil is rather low, and the consumption of wine, it's a barrier to the elite, also because of the prices. It's higher prices, I would say. But nevertheless, there's an effort in Brazil to try to widen the consumers, to have more people consuming wine so that they can have access to the wine. And what's your comments about this movement? Yeah, we're living that. We are increasing the consumption of wine also, but because of the climate, culturally, wine consumption was introduced many, many years ago, but also the production of quality wine, that's also another aspect. Namely, the sparkling wine in the south of the country. And we implemented technologies, a lot of research. So this starts spreading out in the country, both white and red wine. So now it's in different states as a quality production. Now, concerning production, sorry, consumption, we see that more and more the population is consuming the wine. We have different events promoting it, and we've seen that the Brazilian is now willing to have wine consumption and have the wine culture. So all the work done with many countries commercially working with Brazil made an increase that is now growing, I would say, exponentially. But still, there's a long path. So this market still needs to be worked. So both in consumption level as in production. That's what we've seen lately. A small niche in Brazil means a lot of million people. Yeah, we have more than 200 million. So yeah, it's a good market to work. If the economy improves, if the quality of economic quality of the population, then they will also increase the consumption of quality wine. So it's entwined. And in a country like Brazil, do we have the wine in official moments, like in political receptions? Yes. Because we start having production in Brazil. So it's normal to have our product in different diplomatic moments, international meetings, etc. So we show also the good quality of the Brazilian mark wine. So we need to enter the market. But we know that the domestic market sometimes it's influenced by what's going on externally. So this is helping us. So in these diplomatic and international events, it's helping. Well, Simiton, I go back to you. The success of the French wine with historic time, it's due to the UK being interested in French champagne since this 14th century, claret in Bordeaux a bit later, and then the sherry and port wine as of the 18th century mostly. There was a way of having British diplomacy through wine. Is this something cultural? I think so. There's very strong British traditions to toast to the Queen or to the King with port wine, to have an important celebration with wine. And this helped us a lot, mainly with port wine. When there's a big dinner, state dinner, if the Brazilian president goes to UK, the big dinner is toasted with port wine. It's not with the English wine, but it's Portuguese wine. And this tradition helped our region, where George and I are working for all our lives. So this cultural aspect that you just mentioned, it's undoubtedly very important to project our wines. Our wine is present in the most important, in the end of the speech, in the end of the dinner, when the president, let's say French president, the Brazilian president is there, so the toast is made with port wine. So this is wine power in action, and it's very important for us. How does the British market looks at wine, port wine? We're going through a difficult phase. The world is complicated, as we know. So this has an impact also in our region. Especially the port wine has been an exported wine. The French wine that you mentioned, they had a very big national market. The port wine, until recently, was almost 100% exported to Brazil, France, UK. And now the national market, it's very important for port wine. But that projection of our wine in the world market, it's helping the country, I believe. Portugal, it's helping Portugal to be stronger because it's a big wine and it has this tradition to be the last wine that is used when you do a toast. That's important. George, the same question that I asked to Paul, but now a different perspective. This way of being, like in political and cultural terms, that you have in UK makes us think we here in Oporto and we daily live with port wine and maybe we don't consume it as often as we should. Do you think that this should be a case study, what happens in UK, this relationship they have with port wine? Well, like port wine, like Paul said, traditionally it's a wine that it's exported. So there was a small consumption in Portugal. And very often, it was not vintage style, it was either the old Tawny. I believe that today, due to the tourism level that we have in Oporto, and the visitors that you have, I believe we could have a great effort to present port wine in general in a different way. The good restaurants. Is there an issue with my sound? I was just doing advertising this restaurant. When you go to Matriarca, the port wine service is very good. But if you go to the Gaia port, oof, I must say that in some situations, I'm not speaking about the sellers, but in some restaurants, it's really a pity because the people are not getting education about what is port wine. Well, except when you go to the wineries. So there's a lot of work still to be done. And this work goes also to the younger generations. The Generation Z is not consuming, and they do not want to learn. This is not correct. We see everywhere in the world indexes that show that they are getting more interested, and we need to know how to communicate so that those consumers would be interested in our wine. But this is traditional. We did this for many, many years. Why did we export wine? Because the wine was explained to the consumers, and the consumers were looking for that wine. Young people also need to get an explanation about wine in a language that they understand and they feel related. Do we have to be more diplomatic with this new generation? Well, diplomacy could be a way. But more than diplomatic, we need to be careful in the way to explain. Maybe we should not start with the terroir, but start with the flavor, and with this flavor, bring people to the origin. Because the terroir, it's where you go to the authenticity. And people look for authentic things, things that are not made in great and manufactured in great scale. And the port wine is authentic, goes to the oldest protected designation of origin. It's a specific area. I have a good friends in French in Alsace area, and they were surprised by the numbers we presented. How did we do the amount we do of port wine, and if we compare with Alsace quantity, because they also produce a lot of wine, and they were expecting us to only produce this, but it's, you know, part of the image. We need to convey all this information. We need to convey information in a diplomatic way, of course. Gustav, when we think about Rio de Janeiro, we think about samba, the good beaches, all nice things. One of the beautiful cities of the world that has been built in the jungle. And it's using all these aspects and now is offering another product that does not have a beach, but has other very good things. Namely, some wine growing that came before the COVID, and now after the COVID, Serra do Rio, what's that? Well, Rio de Janeiro is known as sun and beach, but it's much more than that. So this estate has 12 touristic regions. It's a small territory. It's similar to Portugal, I would say. If you go by car, you can know a lot of di different regions there. So we try to explore this international tourists. 2,200,000, that's what we got last year. It's not a lot if we compare with European countries, but it's much bigger than when we had Olympiad and World Cup. We got 1,500,000. So this now, 2,200,000, they go for sun and beach. So now we need to go into these tourists and say, if you go for 1.5 hour by car, you can know other destinations with mountain, with nature, and also now the enotourism that has been developing a lot. This product wine is still young, so we need to develop. But the experiences, both gastronomic, hotel experiences, have been consolidating with good quality. A lot of our mission here is to know the initiatives that you develop for many, many years and to help us to work on these aspects. Like what you're doing here in Oporto to connect people with other regions. I have a small video if it's possible to show. So these two wine growing, Teresópolis, Maturano, 2 hours away from the region. This is not possible to interpret, I'm sorry, but we do not get the script. This is in another city, Areal, an Italian city that had been built there and it's been developed. was inspired in Italian. Here you have our path. You can see the QR code. It's more than 41 growing areas. Yes. So I have a production and experience in production, in welcome people, gastronomy. So this helped a lot to disseminate this product in Rio de Janeiro. Are you trying to build somehow a second California, this time in Rio de Janeiro? Well, it could be the second north of Portugal. Why not? Well, but more inspired because it's younger. It's inspired with what's happening in California, that they have production connected with experiences. Because this is the experience tourism that we are developing in the world today. Rio de Janeiro had been in Lisbon last in the end of last year with some promotions. And there was a chef's week. We're going to have a chef's week in Rio de Janeiro now. Yeah, we've been with in Lisbon and now with Nuno. And the expectation is that we will have this chef in July in Copacabana Palace to introduce the gastronomy from here with Rio de Janeiro gastronomy in Brazil in general, but a lot of from Rio de Janeiro. They're really trying to develop that. So we have, as a result of this action, the impact of all the visitors. Well, probably our port is going to be there. The invitation destiny is going to be Portugal, Oporto. Well, we are in Oporto. It's like a capital of Douro, port wine, and the Vinho Verde, like all these three denominations of origin. How is it possible to do lobby so that wine is present in more official celebrations like we had in UK? You mean here in Portugal? Ah, well, that's worrisome, isn't it? Oh, I can't open that door. It will be great if you could open it. I think, well, you know, there's embassies in from Portugal abroad, where I've been in a very important reception. They open the doors. They want to do tasting sessions. In the UK embassy, it's always available for Portuguese producers. They have a beautiful palace in London, much bigger than all the others in that square. So I think there's already a change in mentality. So they can develop the Portuguese wines abroad. So we can help embassies in the market, in the fairs. Well, here in Portugal, we speak about economic diplomacy. Wine could be there, couldn't it? Yeah, absolutely. And I think that our wines are part of that Portuguese image everywhere in the world. But there's this axe I want to mention. We producers, in the last 20 years, no more than that, maybe 30 at the most, we learned to open our doors. And this part of this, it's a diplomacy because our parents, they were wine producers. And then the wine was given to the importer in Brazil, in UK, or Denmark. They would go every once in a while to do some tasting sessions. But now the good producers from Douro or whatever, they know that is essential to open our doors. This is part of this diplomacy of wine power. Those that visit us to be having a good reception, they will become a client. You will get attached to the brand. And this old world where we are should learn with South Africa, California, and Australia. They started with enotourism before us. In Bordeaux, most of the chateau, they have their doors closed. We cannot go in. Yeah, now they are opening their doors. Yeah, but they're late. Portugal went forward in the last 20 years. So now you can be in Alentejo, in the Minho, in Douro, and be really welcome. Have good receptions, go around the vineyards to have tasting sessions, eat there, and sometimes even sleep there. So this is a diplomacy of the producers. This is essential. For me, that's the best marketing. It's much better than an advertising that you see in a magazine. Take people, bring people to you. And this city is helping us. Like the mayor said, Porto City, it's the one of the founders of the wine capitals. This is very important for our wines. Diplomacy in action. So any tourist that is happy after leaving a certain region isn't the ambassador of the brand. Exactly. I went to South Africa 20 years ago. Stellenbosch, that's where I went. I was really very surprised. I came back convinced that we should follow this action, being open to the clients. But how did you do? Symington was almost accused of taking a lot of time to open to the air tourism, but then you just went. I agree with you, but I will go even further. In this co very complicated world with Trump tariffs, Ukraine war, economy is not going the best, not good anywhere. But the only sector, and I know that because of my friends that are producers in other regions, what is having good results? It's enotourism. They sell wines at the door, but they also make people an ambassador of the wine and of the brand. So this diplomacy of the producer is very important, and it's the future of many companies. I'm very happy I took this decision 20 years ago, the decision to open our wineries, and it's a model that is being followed by many people. Well, George, before going into these contemporary things of enoturism, we already had these confreries. They were creators. You are the one of Vinduport. They were an important vehicle to get the attention, this brotherhood. Brotherhood was important to get attention to a region, a brand. What's the importance of these brotherhoods? Of this wine brotherhood? Well, it's a part of the tradition and culture of wine. Well, but it depends. If we're speaking about a port wine brotherhood, there's a lot of brotherhoods where people get together and meet to celebrate a part of what they think is important in the culture. So this port wine brotherhood, it's interesting because the great figure behind the creation of this Vinduport Brotherhood was Robin Reed. There was an Englishman that was working for Croft, and he was really interested to create this brotherhood. Your father was one of the first ones in the Chancellery, wasn't it? So it was an emblematic thing, I would say, to get together different flags, if you allow me this term. So cultural flags get together, and then you could take them with you and you could show them with a lot of dignity to show a part of the wine. It's like the toast Paul mentioned. The toast to the king or to the queen in the end of the banquet, or to celebrate some the signature, I don't know, a peace declaration or something. You just celebrate it with a good wine, port wine, of course. But I believe that these wine brotherhoods, they keep an important part to show the culture of the wine. From your heart, George, who were the important people that were in your brotherhood? More mediatic people, those that you helped to enter the brotherhood. Well, I must say something. When we did that, someone that will come to the brotherhood will feel very good. And then a year later, we would speak with this person, but without a hat, and say, I was the one that introduced you. No, I don't remember. I did remember, but they don't remember who made them come into the motherhood. So I'm not going to say the person that there was some were more important than others, but all those people that were enthroned and are enthroned in the Brotherhood of Port Wine, they are important people. And they deserved by they deserve to be recognized by the work they do in favor of the port wine. That's an important role of the Wine Brotherhood. Gustavo, when we speak about these brotherhoods, we have to speak about Brazil. Brazil loves this issue. Many of them work very well because they have different people from different fields with a common cause, the wine in this case. This is a something very cultural in Brazil. Yes. The brotherhood is to get together people. We've been following this phenomena. And these wine growing regions, they've been doing it to create ambassadors for their brands, to widen their sphere. So it starts with the wine culture using enotourism, which is a strong aspect. And then in parallel, the brotherhood is a method that had results already. So we know it's important to disseminate and to get the brand to be known. Okay, we're coming to an end in this chat. Paul, there's a diplomatic war in the wine sector to convince the younger generations to give an opportunity to wine, to go against the message that all of us, when we are seated around the table to have a meal, we're going to die in the end of the meal. This is a diplomatic war in the sector, and the industry is facing this. I'm asking, do you think there's a secret to win this war? Well, I think we will win. But the victory is going to be different from what I lived in my career in the wine field. We had different moments. There was some crisis at world level that made the life of producers difficult. But now it's different. There's a change in the attitude towards alcohol, not only wine, also beer and sparkling wine. I think this is a very different moment. And when we overcome this, something will be different. But I believe that when we overcome this, the wine is going to stay because the quality, the origin, the terroir, history, it's going to be there. But the volumes are going to be different. We're going to have a worldwide adjustment period. That's happening already. If we see in the newspapers, we see it happening already. But as we said previously, my friends in the Douro, the farmers around my farm in Douro, what I tell them is that hold on, we're going through a difficult period. If you can hold on in 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to have a very good position because we have very good vineyards, very good wine, but this is a difficult period, no doubt about it. This is also true for France, Spain, everywhere. We are in a moment of big change. We need to focus on the image, to work properly, And those that survive, they will be in very good position afterwards. George, are we going to be able to do it only with diplomacy or something else? I remember when I entered the wine sector, I was 17. And how to overcome this? Working. We need to work. And in order to do so, we need to know what we want to do and how to do it. The example that we've just heard, it's an important one. So if we offer an experience, it's not only to drink a glass of wine, it's to have an experience. The experience of drinking a glass of wine in an environment that is different from the environment we had, and we learned to drink wine in that other environment. And then all the connection with culture, with food, with tourism, all the experience of the wine consumption, it's important. It's authentic. It's real. In a world where we have so many things that are fake, this is important. But for the sector, I believe that we have some years. Maybe the last 5 years, we can say it was easy. But now we have to erase these years. The last 5 years were difficult, but before that was easy. So we have to think how to overcome the challenge to create new consumers. And like Paul said, and I agree with him, these new consumers, they're going to drink wine, enjoying it, but they're not going to consume as much as my generation. My generation did consume a lot. That's why we had to speak about wine and moderation. And what we need to say today is that the consumption of wine is good, but they have to do it in a moderate way. In a special environment with a diplomacy in a certain area. When you visit a friend's house, you just bring along a bottle of wine. This is part of the culture and the tradition, and that's the result of our work. A final question to each one of you. Gustavo, what is the profile of tourists that Rio de Janeiro wants to attract with this project of Serra do Rio? Is it a bit different profile from the one that you had until now? Yeah, we had this tourist that had, events, that's Réveillon, Carnival. Now we have Shakira for more than 1 million people. We had Madonna, Lady Gaga. So this is a profile that attracts a tourism that helps for our success. But we have a higher quality tourist with a higher consumption. And that's what we can attain with aerotourism. We can create other tourism. So in Rio de Janeiro, we need to diversify. And this new product, aerotourism, helps us. Young people, they go for something healthier. And the aerotourism is something you can do. You can go with a bicycle, you can go walking. So it fits with this new lifestyle that young people look for. It's different from what we had previously. So we believe that the wine experience is going to raise the quality of tourism. Last question to Paul and George. It's a very easy one. Which wives would you suggest to Donald Trump? Vladimir Putin, Zelensky, or to Ursula von der Leyen? To Zelensky? He thinks like, I think it's a great vintage. 1945, one of the best wines we had from last century. Sandman 45 is great. We have 1,000 grapes, 45. I think that Zelensky deserves a big bottle from 45. Who else? Trump. A miniature. I was going to say the same. Alcohol-free wine. And Putin, what about him? A glass of water. Is this being streamed? No, no one is listening. And Ursula von der Leyen, I think she's doing a good work. So, a tawny 20 years old. It's always a balanced one. Yeah. George, what do you say? For the same people. I support what Paul said, especially the miniature to Donald Trump. But alcohol free. So a giant supporting a miniature. Okay, great applause to these three speakers. Thank you. Now it's dinner time.
Recording stopped.